It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
It is time for Mariners Memories. This is a fun one as we get a chance to sit down with Charles Gibson, the fan favorite who played for the Mariners from 1998 to 2002. He did everything, played everywhere in a Mariners uniform, and he has some stories to tell. And we start, for those of you that never saw Charles Gibson play, he described himself as a player.
I would say I was a hard-nosed player that played the game hard and fast and all out. I left everything on the field. I would say I played it, and I don't want to get into new school, old school, but I would say I played it maybe the old school way because I learned from Lou Piniella how to play baseball, and that was kind of the grimy, go hard and play hard mentality.
What was it like playing for Lou?
Oh, it was amazing, man. I mean, I'll just tell you a Lou story real quick. This is how my time in Seattle kind of started. I remember I had a start one day, and I want to say it was 99 or 98. And I'm still a young player at this time. I'm not quite sure my role. Everybody that gets called to the big leagues, you think you're just supposed to be a starter and just play every day, and that's not kind of how it works. Everybody has been, trained, and you have a role. And so I didn't quite know my role yet. So I was starting in right field against, I think, Finley was pitching, a left-hander. And I was batting ninth, and he had got knocked out of the game before I even came up to the plate. And he pinch hit for me. And so I blew up, in the dugout, and I've never done that before, but I just really didn't understand what was going on, and I kind of lost my cool a little bit. And we kind of got in each other's face a little bit, and he's like, get up there in the dugout, and I just remember a couple of my buddies saying, hey, man, you might want to pack your bags up, man. That's not kind of how you want to do things around here. So I went upstairs in the locker room, sat down, and I just felt like, man, I just blew my opportunity in the big leagues. I was yelling at this coach who's a legendary coach, and I'm embarrassed myself, and I'm just kind of sulking a little bit. The game's over, and Lou Piniella comes up, sits down with me with some cold beverages, and opens one up and hands it to me and says, you can play for a couple years, or you can play for a lot of years. And he goes, I'm not mad at you for you being upset in that situation, but understand that everybody has a role. And if you're going to fit that role, then you will be here for a long time. And so that was like a learning lesson from Lou for me. And it's a test of his personality and his managing skills. And so it brought the best out of me from then on, that forward on, that time on. I just I worked hard. I kept my mouth shut. Did what they told me to do, and by the blessings, I was able to stay there quite a while and help the team win 116 games.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at the roster when you first came up, and just to see the players that were on that team when you first got to the Mariners. I mean, you're talking about some of the best, right? You know, Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, Alex Rodriguez. You look around. What was it like to look around that locker room for the first time? The clubhouse that you were sharing with some of the greats of the game.
Wow, it was amazing. I try to tell a lot of people, the hardest thing was to come up to as a rookie in the big leagues in the time I came up when you didn't hit home runs or didn't have power, because it seemed like everybody had at least on the Mariners at that time, everybody had at least 10 or 16 home runs. It felt like, and you see King Griffey Jr. sitting there, you see Randy Johnson. I mean, just amazing. Dan Wilson. I mean, just some great, great ball players. And, I think the reason why I fit in so well, because it didn't, it didn't affect me. I wasn't like, oh, these guys, I mean, I respected them, but in my mind, it just felt like I did belong there. And that I just wasn't in awe that much over it. I did respect the guys, but it just felt like, okay, this is where I kind of belong. And so the reason I think I bonded well is because it wasn't a big deal to me. I just fit right in real easy, and we just kept it moving. And it was just a great experience. But I also want to throw in Olerud too, man. John Olerud, just a great player, man. Being with the Mariners in my stint there, I had some great players come through, Hall of Famers like Ichiro that I was able to play with, some great players like Mike Cameron, just some really good names that you learn a lot from, and that actually can help me these days in my coaching and helping kids that I took with that.
You mentioned that 2001 season, and there you are. You're a guy that played nearly 100 games in that season for a team that won 116 games. What was that ride like as you're just seemingly winning every single night?
It was one of the best times of my life to know, as a competitor in sports, to know that almost every game that you play, you're going to win. It was this feeling we had. It was a weird feeling that we knew if we got behind, we were going to win. Like, we didn't worry. We didn't stress. And the only time I saw a chink in that was towards the end of the season that year. We lost a few games, I think, and we went into the postseason a little bit stumbled, just a little bit. And I saw some doubt a little bit in some of the players. Maybe that's kind of what happened. When you just ride that wave and you don't think about what's going on, you just keep riding it. It was a great feeling. We won everything. And then all of a sudden it seemed like in the playoffs, when we started really kind of thinking about it so much and stressing out, it kind of, that feeling took over a bit. And we didn't play as natural as we did, but it was just an awesome regular season. Like, just knowing that, I mean, I remember getting down by like 5 runs and just looking at people and they're like, oh yeah. And we were okay. And just knowing that it was going to be fine. We were going to come back, and we would. And it was just, it was a great ride, man. So I think we only lost one series all year, and it was towards the end of the year, I believe.
I mean, you're right. It seemed like no matter what would happen, you'd be like, yeah, they're going to win this game. It really didn't matter. It was amazing.
Yep. It was like no matter what. We never got down. The attitude was very positive. And it did help to have like a great leadoff guy like Ichiro getting on base, setting the table, you know, right away, and getting down by a run, having a great at-bat by him, and just having some great players that were clutch. It didn't hurt to have those clutch players. And then the leadership, you know, I can't say enough about the leadership. It was just amazing. And I'm also talking about Pat Gillick putting those pieces together as well.
Well, you were there for the beginning of what has turned out to be a Hall of Fame career for Ichiro. What was it like kind of behind the scenes watching Ichiro go to work in those early days with the Mariners?
It taught me a new level of preparedness for the game. The routine that he goes through with his body to stay in shape at the time, now I know why he played so long. And that's kind of what I took from what he had. He had great skills. I mean, great hand-eye coordination. But just the way he took care of his body, the way he made sure he was healthy and was eating. I mean, he did stretching. He did this thing with his feet. What was amazing, he had like this little wooden object that he would stick in joints and like all these little places. And I was like, what is he doing? And I even tried it once and I was hurting. My foot was hurting. But he's like, you have to release these pressures so you can stay healthy. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And so and little by little started doing these little things, and it helped me. So I realized that he had a great structure in the game that he had from the beginning that he kept, and he kept that routine going, and it really worked for him. And it did help a lot of other players that were around him. We saw his level of preparedness for the game and the way he methodically went through like the pitching staff and all that. And we just grew on that. together. We took it all in a little bit, and that's what I saw from him, man. Just a great mind along with the great tools.
You know, whenever I talk to people about their favorite plays, individual plays from 2001, inevitably the catch that you made in left field against the Angels always comes up that secured, I think, win 104 of the season. What do you remember about that catch, that diving catch to win the ball game against the Angels?
And now the left-hander set, and the 3-2 pitch to Tim Salmon on the way, swung on and lined into the corner down the left field line. Gibson makes a diving, unbelievable catch to end the ball game. My, oh my, Charles makes an unbelievable grab. That ball gets by any other outfielder. When Lou Piniella puts him out there, he, Cameron and Ichiro, he called it the greatest outfield on the planet. And now we see why. As Charles Gibson falls over after making the backhanded catch, pops up and ends this ball game. What an ending, Red.
I tell you what, that was an outstanding play by Gibson. Took a little bit of a gamble, but nevertheless, he made a tremendous catch. And Lou's right. With the guys that they have in the outfield, with Gibson, Cameron, and Ichiro, it is tough to hit it by them.
Well, my memories aren't too happy about that, because that's the night before 9/11. Mm. So I woke up. I still remember, like, wanting to get up to see, because a couple of my friends said, oh, man, it made SportsCenter, this and that. So I was just kind of excited. And I just remember that it never really materialized because of what happened in the world that day. So in my mind, I just remember that being like kind of the last night before things were kind of normal, mm-hmm. you know, and then things changed after that. So it was a weird experience for me, you know. My favorite play, I think, that year was throwing a runner out at home plate in Minnesota. I don't know if you remember that or recall that, but Lou Piniella put me in the game in center field, replaced me with Mike Cameron. I mean, replaced Mike Cameron with me. And they hit a line drive right up the middle, and I threw out a player at home plate.
Gets in a pitch, swung on, base hit center field. Here to third base is Allen. The throw to the plate by Charles. He's in time. They've got it. Charles Gibson, an amazing throw. Right on the money to Dan Wilson to nail Chad Allen and keep the lead at 3-2. What a throw by Charles Gibson. And there was no hop to it. It was just a bullet. What a throw by that kid.
I'd call it a low strike.
Oh, mercy.
Holy cow. Gibson fired that ball all the way. Dan caught it just above the ground, and it was about a foot up the third baseline. You can't get a better throw than that.
Fantastic throw by Charles Gibson to nail Chad Allen at the plate. That rivaled the throw by Ichiro to get Terrence Long going from first to third in Oakland. An unbelievable throw by Charles Gibson.
That kind of was one of my favorite memories. Just knowing that I helped the team in that way at that time kind of was a little more positive for me.
I just remember you being factors in so many games one way or another, whether it was as a pinch runner, whether it was as a defensive replacement. When you went into a game, how did you prepare for games, knowing that you could be inserted at any point in the ball game doing any sort of thing in a game? How did you prepare for that?
I think I learned that because I was sitting down to the minor league so many times early in my career. And it wasn't because I didn't play right or whatever. It's because of moves and having a stacked roster. Mm. But that first instance when I realized I wasn't a starter in that situation, I told you that me and Lou Piniella had that little falling out, that quick falling out, is it made me realize, okay, now Lou just told me I can play for a long time, but I got to figure out what he means by that. What does that mean? He wants me to play different positions. So I have to volunteer to learn how to play third. I have to volunteer to learn how to play second. When they asked me in spring training who wants to learn how to play short, I raised my hand. Those are the things that I took from that. So when I would go down to the minor leagues, I would learn how to play these different positions and try to excel at them so that when I was called back to the big leagues and they said, hey, go pinch run, play left, or go pinch run, play second or third or whatever, I felt comfortable with it. And then knowing that if I wanted to play the game that I loved, I had to do well when I was inserted. So I couldn't go in for a pinch run and then, you know, miss touching the base, or I couldn't go in to play defense and then miss the fly ball. I knew that it was, those are the times I had to be 100% laser focused. And I want to go back to the leadership of Lou, the confidence of him, just knowing that he comes to me and picked me and tell me to come in the game. That was the confidence that he gave me, that he had in me, that made me excel. So I would say that was a big part of that. When I went to other teams after the Mariners, I didn't have that confidence feeling, and I didn't play as well my first year away because I didn't have that same kind of leadership communication. It wasn't saying that the positivity wasn't there, but the communication wasn't there because the relationship hasn't been based. We hadn't had established that relationship like Lou Piniella and I had for so many years. So, for instance, I went to New York, and I didn't play well in that situation because the communication there was a different type of manager. Joe Torre was a different type of manager, and we didn't communicate the same. And I just felt a little more unprepared when I was on the field. And that was nobody else's fault but mine. And I needed to figure out a way to play in that situation better, which I did after that year. I learned how to adapt. When you play for one team for 10 years and then you go to a new team, things are done different and you kind of feel a little bit out of water and you have to find your way again. So I had to learn how to get that confidence back again.
Do I remember this correctly? You going into the stands to try and catch a foul ball and a fan putting a ball into your glove to try and fool the umpire? Do I remember a story like that correctly?
Oh, yeah. Man, I tell you, if you're not, to me, the game was like a battle. You go in and you try to win no matter what. I mean, you play within the rules, but you play to win. So, I mean, when I'm trying to dive for everything, I try to throw out everything, I try to go over the wall. And then if the fans want to help me out and try to put a ball in my glove and I dive in the stands after one, I would do that as well. But they picked up on that pretty quickly and figured that one out. I remember diving into the stands and kind of getting shook up a little bit. And I thought I caught it, but I didn't. I didn't know. And then I just remember I felt like somebody messing with my glove. And then the referee was like, no. I was like, okay, all right.
That's so great. I mean, you were such a fan favorite at the time. What do you remember about your relationship with the fans in Seattle during all those years?
The best. Man, I was a simple kid from California, man. I never thought I was going to be a superstar or nothing like that. So signing autographs, I mean, come on, coming up as a little leaguer, as a high school kid, your dream is to be able to sit after the game and sign autographs for kids. So for me, I had no problem being the last one signing autographs and stopping for people. Just to know that they were there coming to see me play and supporting us. And Seattle had, I can't overstate this enough, Seattle has the best fans. I mean, they have some of the best fans in baseball. They were so good to me. I wasn't always the best offensive player, and I'm sure that I could have been booed several times, but they always were very positive and stuck by me, and that gave me a lot of confidence as well to play well for them. And that's why I would go hard, is because I knew that the fans were in my corner. And they were a very family-oriented stadium and fans, like very respectful. And just truly, truly great fans. I really, really like it. And some of my favorite times there is the Mariner Caravan, where we would go on a dream caravan. We talk about drug-free, respect, education, attitude, motivation. And we would go around the state of Washington, and we would meet the fans face-to-face and meet kids and be able to, you know, spread the message. And then we had the Mariner Moose with us at the time, which was a big hit. But those are the things that I loved about professional baseball was the outreach to the community to be able to, you know, bring smiles to kids, go to the hospitals and see some of the kids that were, you know, that had some illnesses or other things that would go and make us, you know, put a smile on their face and those types of things. And, you know, the game is just a game, but being able to touch some people like that and help people out like that, make them feel better, that's an awesome thing. And, you know, playing the game was fun, but using some of that baseball fame to help bring some pleasure for other people was also an awesome thing.
Well, you certainly did that. So tell the fans what you're up to these days.
Oh, man. Well, now I actually create curriculums for PE for schools, and I'm actually athletic director for a private school right now. I taught after I got out of baseball. I was actually recruited by Kellogg Brown and Root to go overseas to Iraq to develop sports programs for the kids there and also for some of the troops and stuff. So I did that for a while. And then I went back to school, got my degree, and then I got back in and then I got into teaching. And I taught special education for a while and coached and then moved up through the ranks. And now I'm athletic director. So just teaching kids, man, and running sports programs for high school.
Ah, that's great work. What do you like most about working with kids?
I love the fact that they're so eager. It's like they're eager to learn something new. Mm. And it's like you catch them at a stage in life where they're hungry for information and they're hungry to learn something. And all the experiences that I've had in my life, I'm able to, you know, maybe it's not baseball they're interested in. Maybe, you know, they want to do ice hockey. Maybe it's ballerina. Maybe it's something. I don't know. But I can help them achieve what they need to achieve by giving them some of the information that I've learned in my life from the coaches, people like Pat Gillick, Joe Torre, Nick Pinella, Dusty Baker, Phil Gardner, just some great people that have taught me and mentored me and have been able to give me positive reinforcement to help me accomplish my goals. And so that's what I like to do for the kids. That's one of the favorite things for me.
Hmm. Well, finally, Charles, when you think about your time in Seattle, do you have a single favorite moment on the baseball field? I know there's so many great moments that you experienced. Is there a favorite?
I would probably say when we had the flag on the field in 2001 and we went to the playoffs and we brought the flag on the field and we all kneeled around the pitcher's mound. That was a special moment. That was a special moment for us getting back to baseball again. And yeah, that was a moment that it's hard to top that one emotionally. I'm not saying it's the fondest memory, but it's one of the biggest memories I have.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you keep in touch with any other guys from that era?
Oh, yeah. I am actually a part of the Alumni Association. I go to, well, before the pandemic, we frequently, I went to Spain and did a bunch of camps there with Tolberg and a couple other ex-players. And Desi and I and a couple other ex-players go to Nicaragua every year on like we do like a humanitarian trip out there and we bring supplies and we teach kids camps there. So yeah, I stay connected, man. I stay connected with a lot of people, not every day, but we stay connected. Gary Bennett. And so, yeah, we have some few people that I stay connected to. But Desi Relaford and I, and a few other guys, we just pretty much every day talk. It's just something we do.
That's great. Well, Charles, this has been so fun to catch up, reminisce on some old times, and it's so great to hear what you're doing now, and hopefully we'll catch up down the road again. This has been really fun. Thanks for taking all this time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, Gary, I appreciate you, man. I hope I didn't bore you too much.